From the studios of KXCI Community Radio in Tucson, Arizona, I'm King David McKenzie with the Unvarnished Truth. Here's some of how the world is treating itself today, the 21st of July, 2009. Former Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney is back in Washington, D.C. after a week in an Israeli jail. She says because she tried to give crayons to some Palestinian children. The Israeli government apparently considers crayons to be contraband in its naval blockade of Gaza. The St. Petersburg Times reports this morning that a Florida-based religious group is putting up billboards in the Tampa Bay area denouncing the separation of church and state. The group, calling itself the Community Issues Council, has gone so far as to concoct a quote attacking the separation of church and state and attribute it to George Washington while openly admitting there is no evidence whatsoever that the first president of the United States ever said or wrote it. So much for not bearing false witness. Former President Jimmy Carter, widely noted for having a particularly strong faith in Christ, has left the Southern Baptist denomination he was a part of for 60 years. That denomination's treatment of women in society is the reason given, says Mr. Carter. Quote, "The truth is that male religious leaders have had and still have an option to interpret holy teachings either to exalt or subjugate women. They have, for their own selfish ends, overwhelmingly chosen the latter. Their continuing choice provides the foundation or justification for much of the pervasive persecution and abuse of women throughout the world." End quote. This is Tucson, where last Thursday a police raid on a topless bar led to 32 topless dancers being cited for not having an adult entertainment employee license. Yesterday, the Tucson Police Department rescinded those citations. That license is only required of fully nude dancers, not merely topless. Somewhat related unfinished business, back about a month ago I told you about a Phoenix-based do-it-yourself adult entertainer named Melissa Ashley, who has had to deal with cancer while, as is the case with all porn performers, without medical insurance. Word comes now that in addition to the ovarian and cervical cancers, which she cannot pay for the treatment of at this point, she wound up in the ICU of a Phoenix hospital a couple of weeks ago when her heart stopped during tests. The latest potential member of the National Felons League probably is not Ben Roethlisberger, the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback. He was in Reno for a celebrity golf tournament last week when a woman accused him of rape. His attorney says it ain't so, pointing to the fact that the alleged victim did not report the alleged rape to police and no criminal investigation has been pursued. The woman has filed a $390,000 lawsuit against the Steeler anyway. There's been yet another tasering gone hideously wrong, this time in West Australia. A man in Warburton was being investigated for sniffing gasoline, a legal offense in West Australia, when he allegedly ran at the police officers carrying a gasoline can and a lighter. The taser was fired by one of the officers, and the man was immediately engulfed in flames. He's now in a hospital in Perth with third-degree burns covering his face, arms, chest, and neck. The Australian distributor of tasers told the Australian newspaper that indeed firing a taser at someone holding a gas can is likely to start a fire. Sinn Féin, the Irish political party long associated with the Irish Republican Army, is reeling after three of its members on the Dublin City Council abruptly resigned from the party. The latest councillor to do so is Louise Minahan, who, like the others, believes Sinn Féin has abandoned its original socialist roots and is only a pale shell of what it used to stand for, not unlike the shift to the right that the British Labour Party took under Tony Blair. Minahan had run for re-election on the Sinn Féin ticket just last month. It is now possible that she will join the new political party Éireann, formed 3 years ago by other former Sinn Féin members. On the other side of Australia, the Melbourne Film Festival is witnessing some international intrigue. One of the entrants is an Australian-made documentary, The 10 Conditions of Love, about exiled Uyghur leader Ribia Khadir. The Uyghurs are a Turkic ethnic group living in the western portion of China and are mainly at sharp odds with the Beijing government. Khadir is personally blamed by Beijing for the rioting that claimed over 180 lives earlier this month. She denies any responsibility. As a result of the festival refusing to cancel the screening of the 10 Conditions of Love, 3 Chinese entries in the festival have been abruptly withdrawn. Festival director Richard Moore calls the Chinese action a major disruption and uncalled for. Obituaries overnight include one for Heinz Edelman. Most recently, the Czech-born artist had taught at the Stuttgart State Academy of Art and Design, and he developed Kuro, the bird-like mascot of the 1992 Seville World's Fair, but his most lasting work came 42 years ago, when he became the art director of the animated feature film Yellow Submarine, translating psychedelia to cinema in a manner that has not been equaled since. Stuttgart, no cause of death given, at 75. And Carlton Willie is gone. Pitcher for Milwaukee's National League franchise in the 50s, including one appearance in the World Series of 1958, the same year he was named Rookie of the Year by the Sporting News, moving to the New York Mets in the 60s. Cherryfield, Maine, lung cancer, at 78. And Jill Belkin has died. British actor on stage, television, radio, and film, as well as widow of the poet C. Day-Lewis and mother of Oscar-winning actor Daniel Day-Lewis and journalist Tamazin Day-Lewis. No location or cause of death given at 84. And a particularly sad farewell today for Bruce Watson, the actor whose resume included guest appearances in several television series, including Star Trek, and a minor role in one of my very favorite theatrical films, Dalton Trumbo's 1971 adaptation of his novel, Johnny Got His Gun. One of the TV shows he appeared in was an episode of Adam 12 titled Suicide. Watson's family reports that he had battled mental illnesses for many years until earlier this month he committed suicide in his home in the Manzano Mountains south of Albuquerque, New Mexico. He was 68 years old. If you have any material you'd like for me to include in the next few days, just email me at baronofarizona@gmail.com. That's baronofarizona@gmail.com. And please indicate where you're listening to this program from. Oh, and one thing more today. The Naked Cowboy, the Manhattan busker who entertains crowds of tourists in his underwear in Times Square year-round, is running for mayor of New York City. In opening his campaign, the Naked Cowboy, whose driver's license reads Robert Burke, says, quoting, "No one knows how to do more with less than yours truly, and that's the kind of thing I plan on sharing with my fellow New Yorkers when you elect me," end of quote. The long-haired, tattooed Burke has become a Times Square feature and said on his website that he plans to make an official announcement at his regular haunt tomorrow. Dressed in nothing but a cowboy hat, boots, and a pair of white underpants emblazoned with the words Naked Cowboy, Burke earns about $1,000 a day with his busking. By contrast, New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg has already spent millions of dollars on media advertising in his re-election bid. Of course, if you don't like this news, you always have the option of making some news yourself. In Tucson, I'm King David McKenzie. Until Thursday, have yourselves some peace and oranges.
Thank you.